This is CBS Eye on the World. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black, and he's going to take us to the moon. Unusually, this is a Rocket Lab production, raising the orbit of a mission to the lunar orbit by using a photon lunar upper stage. Slowly. Bob, this is complicated. Please explain it. Good evening.
Good evening. Now, well, the main mission is to send a NASA CubeSat, and CubeSat's important in this context, a CubeSat to the moon, to orbit the moon. And Capstone's whole purpose is to test operations in this lunar orbit. It's not a stable orbit. It is the orbit that NASA wants to put its lunar gateway manned space station in around the moon. And so Capstone is going to go there relatively inexpensively to test that orbit, to test communications from that orbit, to test if they can maintain that orbit. It's not stable again. And also, it's also to prove that CubeSats, tiny satellites that you can hold in the palm of your hand, can now start taking on some of the tasks that large, very billion-dollar satellites and probes used to do. So that's the mission. Well, Rocket Lab is a company that specializes in launching CubeSats. It has a rocket called the Electron rocket, which puts CubeSats into orbit. They've had something like 20-plus launches. They're a successful company. And so they launched Capstone, but the rocket, Electron, isn't enough to get Capstone to the moon. So Rocket Lab built what it calls its photon upper stage. Photon is attached to the payload, the satellite, the CubeSat, and it has an engine that then fires multiple times to raise the orbit, the Earth orbit, until it eventually gets captured by the moon's gravity and enters lunar orbit. This has been done a few times before by once by India, another time by Israel's Bereshit lunar probe. It's a way to cheaply, with small engines, get your satellite from Earth orbit to the moon. It takes time, though. It takes time. So Photon has now completed the third of seven engine burns that will raise its Earth orbit until it's captured by the moon and it enters lunar orbit. And this is going to take for the next few days. They're going to do these burns. And then at that point, Photon will release Capstone, and Capstone will be on its way to the moon, where it will eventually enter lunar orbit. The goal of Photon is to give Rocket Lab the capability of selling its Electron rocket for planetary missions that CubeSats will fly. And that's a very good thing, John.
And Bob, because this is an unusual, does it save money? Yes,
because you can use a smaller rocket and a smaller engine to get yourself where you need to go. That's why both India and Israel used it when they were sending their attempted landers to the moon, because it doesn't require as big a rocket, and it doesn't require as much of a weight to get it to the moon. Yes, it saves money.
And in saving money, that makes it gives it an advantage over its competitors, sort of like SpaceX has an advantage because it has reusable boosters. Is that their thing?
That's partly that, John. Yes, it does actually give Rocket Lab an advantage. But I think the more important thing is it's making it obviously practical and sensible to start using these smaller CubeSats for planetary missions, which means it's not so much that they'll be ahead of other competitors, but it's going to increase the number of planetary missions exponentially. You're going to start to see a lot of these. They're cheap. They're not so much easy to do, but they can do more for less money, and so you'll see a lot of them. It's not just going to be Rocket Lab launching them. Yeah.
I like saving money and going into space. That's the way.
Yes.
That's the way the car business worked. It started out extravagant, and then it got practical-minded. Now, Bob, Amazon is complaining about SpaceX again, although the Starlink part. I have paid several hundred dollars to Starlink waiting for my box. What does Amazon want to interfere for? Why are they doing this?
This is part of what you labeled correctly last time, John, the constellation wars between various internet constellations of satellites that various companies are putting up. There's wars going on. They're battling each other. So Amazon sent a letter to the FCC late last week asking the FCC to limit SpaceX's Starlink constellation for Amazon's benefit. They wanted the FCC to not approve SpaceX's proposed 30,000 satellite constellation because they say it might interfere with their not yet launched Kuiper constellation. Both companies started development of their constellations of satellites about the same time. SpaceX got about 3,000, a little less than 3,000 in orbit, or have launched that many. Amazon hasn't launched one yet. And as far as I know, it's still going to be a year or so before they launch one. But because they're not launching, they want to make sure that SpaceX doesn't get ahead of them. So they're asking the FCC to put limits on what SpaceX can do. And, you know, some of Amazon's arguments might carry weight if just on its own. But the trouble is that their failure to launch takes some credibility away from them. And in fact, this pattern from Amazon fits the pattern of all of Jeff Bezos' space-related companies. They make big promises, they take little action, and when competitors get things done, they sue or demand the government play favorites. And I don't think that's a very good business plan, John.
Let's go to SpaceX. Starship Super Heavy. Last time I checked in, it's okay for Boca Chica a few times. Cape Canaveral, question mark. But where are they? What are they testing?
Well, John, while Amazon doesn't get anything built and just sues, SpaceX builds things. So SpaceX now since they now have permission to do some launches of Starship Super Heavy from Boca Chica, they have immediately ramped up operations. They've moved Super Heavy to the launch pad where we can expect in the next few weeks they'll do static fire tests. These will be the first static fire tests of Super Heavy with all 33 engines at its base. That's going to be quite interesting. They got Super Heavy, Starship that's going to go on top its six engines are being right now installed in the rocket spacecraft. And at some point after that first static fire test, they will probably mount it on top of Super Heavy and do another test probably. And that's with the goal of trying to launch this thing for an orbital flight by July. Now, whether they can make July, the end of July, is questionable, but that's their target date. Right now, what we've got is a tightening race between Starship and SLS for which one will get into orbit first. SLS is aiming for the end of August. SpaceX, I think, is going to beat it, but we'll have to wait and see.
I love watching the stuff from Boca Chica, Bob, because there's enterprising individuals that keep cameras on their work out there, and then they speed it up so you go through night and day very quickly. It's really a busy place with lots of engineering, lots of machinery, lots of dangerous-looking rockets being lifted around. It's magical to watch it. I just put it on in background and don't use the sound. So let Bezos get to it. Come on, we could use more than one of these. Axiom. What is Axiom, Bob?
Axiom, well, we have more than one of some things. We have more than one space station company, and Axiom's one of them. They are building, they are flying manned commercial flights to ISS, but in the process, they're building modules to add to ISS, which will eventually become their own independent space station. Well, they've done a cool thing. They're building a big facility in Houston to build their modules and their space stations, but in the interim, they needed space for their engineering department to do some work. And so they did a cool thing. They rented, leased a former Fry's electronics retail outlet. Fry's used to be a big company that sold computer and electronics. It's out of business. So there was this empty building. And the building was interesting because when Fry's built it, or the company that built it, they shaped it like a space station. And then inside the facility on the ceiling was a full-scale mock-up of ISS, the International Space Station. And so this building's been sitting empty, so Axiom, which is building space stations, is going to house its engineering department for at least the next few years in this retail building with the full-size mock-up of ISS overhead. And by the way, that's the only full-size mock-up that exists. Even NASA at Houston, at the Space Flight Center, does not have a full-size mock-up. They have modules here and there, but not a full-size. And so this is very cool for Axiom.
Yes, Bob has links, so you can go look at the picture of a store I never knew existed. It really is a space station hanging in the sky.
That's right.
Wow, what a commercial hook that was once upon a time. All right, Sierra Space, a partnership deal with Turkey. Now, this is a confusing one, Bob, because Turkey wants F-16s, not Sierra Space. But what are they going to get in this deal?
John, I got two stories about American companies signing deals with foreign nations. And both cases, it is the American company selling its product to the foreign nation for the sake of of the benefit of both, and that's capitalism. And so Sierra Space has signed a partnership deal with Turkey, and this deal is essential. Sierra Space is the company that's making the Dream Chaser cargo mini shuttle called Tenacity for NASA to bring cargo up and down to ISS. It's a Dream Chaser vehicle, and so the design of Dream Chaser can also be upgraded to do manned flights, and Sierra Space is in the process of doing that. So what have they done? They've gone to Turkey and said, hey, you want to compete with the United Arab Emirates with their space program? We can provide you the lift capacity to not only put payloads into space, but maybe manned flights as well to the space station that Sierra Space is building. And so they signed this partnership deal with Turkey, and Turkey essentially is going to pay Sierra Space to make possible launching of payloads on interplanetary missions, as well as doing research and putting astronauts on that station when it eventually launches. The second story is Virgin Orbit. Virgin Orbit puts satellites up with its Launch One rocket by first launching a 747 airplane. The airplane takes off from a runway, and then gets to the right point in the air, and then releases the rocket, which takes the satellite into orbit. The advantage of this is you can take off almost any airport in the world, which gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of where you launch. So Virgin Orbit has signed a deal with Brazil, the Brazilian Space Agency, to launch from Brazil's long-abandoned spaceport, which hasn't been used for much of anything. And this way, they're making money, Virgin Orbit, they're enhancing their product, and Brazil gets some cash for allowing its spaceport to be used. And so this is another example of capitalism.
Bob,
working by
what is a space tug?
Space Tug is it's kind of similar to the Rocket Lab's Photon. It is a vehicle that is used to move satellites from one position to another once they reach Earth orbit. It's basically an upper stage, but it's designed to be in upper orbit to tug to move things around. So a German small sat rocket startup. It's called ISAR. It hasn't launched a rocket yet, but they hope to do it next year. They have signed a deal with a orbital tug company called D-Orbit to launch those tugs on ISAR's small sat rocket. And so this is a very interesting deal from my point of view, because ISAR is one of three German companies trying to enter the small sat rocket company, and they have signed one of the three orbital tug companies that are trying to get business to move satellites around to launch it. So this is capitalism space once again, John. It's very cool.
And India also in the game of, this is Bob's favorite, once upon a time, big space company, because it was cutting costs and being very economical. And then it stopped working. I think it was the pandemic. Isn't that correct?
Oh, yes. They panicked. India's space program completely panicked and shut down. And this is the point I make in the Post today, because this week, India's PSLV rocket completed a launch, putting 9 satellites into orbit. This is a rocket that can put up small satellites and large satellites, but they're all for low Earth orbit. This was its second launch of the year. It's only its fifth launch by India since the Wuhan panic began in 2020. And before that, they were gung-ho. They were launching as many as 6 a year, and they were hoping to actually double that number. The panic set in. They shut down completely, and the result was all their small sat business disappeared. It all moved to companies like Rocket Lab and SpaceX. They used to launch anywhere from a dozen to 100 small sats on the PSLV rocket. Those all disappeared. They're all being launched by other companies now. So I'm hoping that this launch will bring them back to life.
Now it turns out we're all going to be dead, just like India, Bob, because the ozone layer is going to be torn apart by rocket launches. Scientists say, and we trust science, correct, Bob?
Scientists say, I call this junk science, I call it garbage science, but there was a paper put out, which a lot of the mainstream press unfortunately has touted, that claimed that the coming rise in rocket launches is going to destroy or damage the ozone layer, and we must now fund a lot of research to make sure that we know how this is going to happen and we can prevent it. And it's junk science. It's junk science in a number of ways, and they reveal how much of a junk science it is in their own statements. They say that launches have tripled in recent years, and that's absolutely false. We haven't even doubled the number of launches yet. Even with the increases that have occurred and the booming launch market, we haven't even doubled it yet. And they claim it's tripled, and that's a lie. They claim that the rockets that are launching is going to put so much soot in the atmosphere that it's going to heat up the stratosphere and thus cause significant damage to the ozone. The absurdity of this is so much, John, it's hard to believe because, you know, the number of rockets launched and the amount of material being put into the atmosphere is infinitesimal compared to other things such as simply one volcanic eruption. Secondly, it assumes everything launched is using kerosene, but most companies are switching to methane, which won't produce this soot, so it's a complete lie anyway. But this is just junk science for political reasons, and it should be ignored.
We died when Halley's Comet was here, Bob, because the tail was going to poison the Earth, so we're going to die as we increase the number of rocket launches. We can die several more times before we're dead. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.